Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up! I'm gonna drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm currently joined by my co-host Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Not much. What's going on?
Too much. Just chilling out, getting high, and I was watching Into the Badlands on Netflix.
Oh, is that any good?
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I finished with season 7 of Shameless here recently, and so I needed me another like dysfunctional family thing to watch because I got so into the show. So I started watching Weeds, and I want season 5 of that.
Weeds is all right.
So. I also found the on Hulu they had the UK version of Shameless. It stars who's he got in it? That James McAvoy that plays Charles Xavier, the young Charles Xavier in it. And it's like 11 seasons.
It was actually on Netflix for a while, but before I finished American Shameless, they had took it off.
Yeah, and I started watching a little bit of that. Sometimes that English stuff is hard. I got to put subtitles on. Get the thick accents. So. But it's pretty good, so.
Yeah, that's cool. So what's been going on?
What do you think of the Walking Dead finale? So we hadn't talked about that yet.
I thought it was pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah. I don't think it pissed people off like the last one. So last one did piss me off. It was just a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah, this sets up the next season, and it should be pretty action-packed.
The best part of the whole show was when Negan was getting away, he just took his hand out with his middle finger up as they were shooting at him. I know that was the best part of the whole fucking show.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So, and I knew she was going to come out of the coffin as a zombie. I figured out what she was doing that whole episode when, you know, she took those pills that Eugene had given her.
Yeah. And plus, she's starring in like the next like Star Trek series, so it's obvious she wasn't going to be on it next.
Yeah,
just kind of you could kind of tell she was going to die.
What's been going on?
Not too much, man. Not really. Recovering from WrestleMania, basically. That was a pretty crazy weekend, and. Other than that, not much. Just kind of laying low.
What did you think of the show?
Of what, WrestleMania?
It was way too fucking long for me, and I wasn't even there at that building.
Yeah,
I didn't get a chance to watch it. I didn't get a chance didn't get a chance to watch it until the replay. I didn't get a chance to start watching it until like about 12:30 in the morning. So it had the exact time that the show lasted up on the, you know, on the WWE Network when it's something's already aired, it's got the time and class, and it said 5 hours and 10 minutes.
Yep.
I said, "Holy shit!" I said,
"Well,
maybe it's 4 hours."
Pre-show.
And they had like a post show on there or something. Now the thing went 5 hours and 10 minutes. I fast forwarded through a lot of that concert. I fast forward to that fucking thing. I want to sit and watch that.
And it didn't last too long. It didn't seem like. But I liked it. I enjoyed the show. We had pretty decent seats. We were close enough to where we could actually watch the ring and know what was going on.
Yeah.
And stuff. So that was
y'all
cool.
Y'all didn't get blinded by the light or anything? I know some people.
No, we were on the shade side start.
Yeah.
So that was cool. So yeah, no, I mean
yeah.
We had everything worked out fun as far as the seats and everything.
Did you go to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I went to Hall of Fame. That was pretty cool. That was also very long. It's funny because, like, when they had time limits, you know, it sucked because they just didn't have enough time. But now it's like they all give awesome speeches and they're all cool, but some of them go way, way too long. And then they always let the Ultimate Warrior's wife do, like, an hour speech. I mean, she's a good speaker and she gives good speeches, but they need to just, like, condense the fuck out of it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like, I watched it on replay, too, and I fast-forwarded through that part. So, but yeah, like it used to be, they used to complain that people didn't get enough time. Now people are complaining that the speeches are too long. I don't understand. So,
But everybody gave a good speech, I thought. It's kind of funny seeing the Rock and Roll Express get fucking lost and keep fucking up. That was funny.
Cornette had the best speech, I thought.
Oh, he was all right. I don't think it was the best one. I don't know. I thought Teddy Long and Angle and Beth Phoenix, I thought, gave better speeches.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was cool.
Which match at WrestleMania, which match was your favorite or did you talk about the best match?
You know what? Actually, I haven't even fucking thought about that. probably the Brock Goldberg match. Probably the best.
Yeah.
The most exciting one, also, really. That was, I mean,
yeah,
only lasted like 4 minutes,
exactly,
but it was explosive.
Yeah, it was just about as perfect a match you could get out of those guys. So.
Yeah.
I think the best moment was probably the Hardy Boys coming back.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was that. The pop in the building was crazy when they came out. It's funny because, like, right when they started introducing the teams, because I was sitting with you know, Leva Bates and Trina Michaels, and Leva was talking about how she saw a tweet from Revy. Tweet was they were all at. It was a picture of all of them at the airport, like they were leaving Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had wrestled Ring of Honor the night before, and stuff. So. Then we kind of started talking about if it was a work and stuff, but we kind of like we refused to believe it until the music hit, and then we were like, okay, we knew it, but we're that place went fucking crazy when that music hit and shit, and they came out and stuff. So that was fucking awesome. Fucking I don't know how it came off on TV, but as far as being there live, I think every single woman that was there started crying at the wedding proposal with Cena and Nikki.
Oh. Yeah, that match wasn't anything, but that match wasn't a point, really, so it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, the match was just to get to the end story.
Yeah, and I thought Shane and AJ was really good. Probably were there complaining about it.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the better matches, actually.
Yeah. I went the same way I figured it would go. I figured it'd be a bunch of exciting stuff, and AJ would probably win the match. So,
yeah, it turned out right. What I thought, because when we first got there, you know, the first thing you see is you see the ring, and then you see that the walkway, which the walkway was totally different because usually it's ground level, and this one was like they were coming down. So I'm looking at that, and I'm like, Shane's going to fucking fall off of that thing. That's what's going to happen, and surprisingly, it didn't happen.
I like that ramp that they had where it was lit up, because I really liked it during the Seth Rollins entrance when he had the big torch and touched it to the ramp. I don't know if you saw this. And then the fire shot down the ramp. I thought that was pretty cool. And I knew that's what Roman Reigns was going to do with his fist and the superhero pose when he came out. So.
Well, everything was cool. I mean, everything worked out pretty much perfectly. And stuff. We didn't have no fucking issues with the bus, thank God, finally. Well, it was almost an issue. It was almost an issue, like, because I bought, like, a parking pass ahead of time. So, and then, like, the Friday they had called, and they're like, we see that you need the bus to stay. Is that for sure? Because, you know, we had actually scheduled it to, like, leave and do something else. I'm like, no, I need it to stay. After what happened, I go, after I told them what happened last year, I go, that fucking bus needs to stay. I got the parking pass. It's fucking staying. So they go, okay, well, let me call you right back. And then they call back and said they had, like, a new bus driver for it or whatever, and the bus could stay. So we're about to leave the hotel. And I tell the guy, okay, we need to go to lot 6. I got a parking pass. And he starts like, no, I'm leaving. I have another job. He's a Middle Eastern guy. And I'm like, no, the bus is staying. And he's like, no, I have other job I have to do. And he shows me the paper. I go, I don't care what job you have to do. This bus is staying. I already talked to him, worked it out on Friday. They said they were changing stuff. And he's like, no. I'm like, no, you need to call somebody right fucking now. I was getting pissed, actually. So then he calls, and the whole conversation was in Arabic, and so I had no clue what he was saying. And then he's like, oh, okay, sir, okay, no, you're right, the bus is staying, I'm going to another job. So I guess they had a taxi or whatever go pick him up, but the bus stayed there. So I felt a lot better, because I didn't want that shit that happened last year with the other bus, where the bus couldn't get back to them and shit, and all that fucking mess. It's just, so he's like, yeah, other bus driver come, and he take you home. So I'm like, okay. And then it was funny because, like, Levo, there was actually a show after WrestleMania. I don't know if you heard about it, but it was, like, I think a co-promoted show between Wrestle Circus and Wrestling Revolver. So they were going to start a show, like, an hour after. So Levo always works the Wrestle Circus show, so she was going to work the show. So she brought all her gear with her to the on the bus. So she could go to the show. She had to leave, like, she left after the Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton match. So she was able to stay at least six, I mean, goddamn, as long as that fucking thing left.
She got pissed off after watching that match? She left?
What?
She got pissed off watching that match, she left?
Yeah, after that match, she had to leave. And it was funny because she's like, well, what time is the other bus driver going to get here? Because I have to get my stuff and go. And, the guy's like, oh, I'm not sure. He should be here on time, but I'll show you how to get onto the bus. So he basically showed us how to break into a charter bus. And it's not that hard. So if you ever have to leave your stuff in a charter bus, it's that safe. It's very easily to get into the motherfuckers. It should. So the other bus driver had got there by the time she went and got her stuff. So she missed, like, I guess the last two matches, but. So we got there, we sat down, like, right a few minutes before the Austin Aries-Neville match started on the pre-show. And there were, like, three matches on the pre-show. So we were there for, like, a long, long fucking time. Shit, but, yeah, and then after the thing, it's funny because, you know, I told everybody, I go, you need to take a picture of the bus because it said Phoenix. You need to take a picture of the number. You need to take a picture of what lot we're in. So everybody knows where to fucking come. You got like an hour after the show to get your ass here. And by the time I got to the bus, because I was like on the opposite side of the stadium, I would say like 90% of the people were already on the bus. And then within like a minute or two after I got back, most of the people got there. I only had to wait for like one couple ringside, and they had to wait for them to give them the chairs. But they got there, you know, they got there within plenty of time. But that whole time I'm waiting, you have no fucking clue how many stupid-ass motherfuckers came up to me thinking this was a totally different lot, like, because we're in lot 6, and a lot of these people were asking, where's lot 8? Where's lot 8? And is this our bus? Is this the Rustacom bus? I'm like, no, it's not the Rustacom bus. It's not lot 8. It's lot 6. So just all these fucking people, and it's like, how the fuck do these motherfuckers just jump off the bus not paying attention to where the fuck they're at or what the bus says or what's the fucking number? I was like, there's a lot of dumb-ass fucking wrestling fans out there. One drunk dude actually got on the bus when I wasn't looking and sat down, and one of the guys, I guess, realized he wasn't on our bus and told him he was on the wrong bus, so he stumbles off the bus. And he walks past me, and he looks at me, and he's all, where's my bus? And I'm like, I don't know, motherfucker. And shit, so that was fucking hilarious.
What was your reaction during the Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton match, all the stupid shit they were doing?
with
Maggot and the bugs and shit.
Well, I kind of got excited because when they did the Maggot one, the first one, which was the coolest one, like, Leva kind of freaked out and, like, grabbed my arm and stuff and started, like, squeezing, like, kind of grossed out. So I was like, I fucking was like, well, I hope they do a few more. The other ones weren't as cool, though, but the Maggots look pretty fucking just gross, you know what I mean? But the match wasn't nothing special or nothing.
It was, like, that was one of the worst title matches, I think, in WrestleMania history.
Yeah, but
I think Andre and Hogan was better than that.
Might have been
more exciting, at least. But that's okay. Yeah. Now we get Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton.
Yeah, I'm not too excited about that one.
I just figured
at least
it's
like 5 weeks away. They have time to change their mind and go a different direction.
That's what I thought when that happened. I said, okay, he won. We got about 4 or 5 weeks. Somebody's going to beat him for the title shot between now and then, what I was figuring.
Hopefully that'll happen. If he helps Bray Wyatt beat Randy Orton at the pay-per-view coming up, that's probably not going to be what happens. I guess we'll see.
I don't know. I was just looking at the bunch of people they had in that match, that six-way match, and, I mean, I could see them doing, like, maybe Sami Zayn and Orton in, like, a babyface match or something like that in the main event. Or maybe doing Orton and Dolph Ziggler or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe Luke Harper.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe Luke Harper, because they'd have a good match. But
I was thinking maybe this was where maybe Rusev was supposed to be in this match and before he got hurt or something like that, and so they give it to somebody else. I don't know.
Maybe, but they probably didn't even know who was changing brands until, like, the day of the fucking thing, so who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
They probably had to change everything.
I don't know. But, not like that the guy sucks or anything. It's just he's been jobbed out since he got back last year, you know. So, I thought he and Rusev made a decent little team when they were together. So,
it was all Rusev.
Yeah.
He was just there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he was, like, bossing the Great Khali around, and then it didn't take long before Khali whooped his ass, and then he was just nothing after
that.
Wasn't
he supposed to be, like, Khali's brother-in-law or something, and Khali married his sister or some shit?
I don't remember, honestly.
I think that's what it was or something.
I just know he sucks. It always sucked.
They'd done better to get Daivari from 205 Live and put him in that spot. Or they should have got who's the other Indian guy? What's his name?
Mustafa Ali.
Mustafa Ali, I think he's awesome.
He's all right. It's just follow.
I love that inverted 450 that he does. I've never seen that before.
Well, it's just too small.
Yeah, but. Deal. They should have put Jack Gallagher in there with his umbrella. That would have been better, too. He could have done the Mary Poppins thing off the top rope.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Maybe he'll do those headbutts where he don't kill himself and end his career like the other fella, Shibata. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen the match yet.
No. I saw the spot.
Yeah, I've seen the spot and maybe another clip or two, but not the whole match.
That shit's fucking brutal. I don't understand why you do something like that. It's not like doing a big spot through a table or something, you know, where people are, you know, actually, I don't know, makes it be part of the match, you know. I mean, the little headbutt spot, it's, I don't think it's going to matter one bit on how anybody sees the match, really. Except to say it's stupid.
Yeah.
So, he must have done some real damage. Can't get clear. He must have cracked his skull or something. I don't know.
Well, he's been doing that shit for like a few years. I mean, he does like those headbutts in fucking every match. So it's probably just accumulation of everything.
Yeah.
Just all fucking hit him all at once. Like with Misawa, I mean, basically he got dropped on the back of his head so much that all these years later, his fucking spinal cord just separated, and that's how he died when he died in the ring.
I remember watching him like
over and over again.
I just remember some of those, you know, watching some of those All Japan spots with like, I think it was Misawa and Kobashi when they were in there with like Dr. Death, and he dumped them right on their fucking heads every time.
Yeah.
And suplexes, stuff like that. I mean, Jesus Christ. And those rings, man, those rings in Japan are like the hardest fucking rings too. It's almost like concrete, they say. So.
Japanese people are crazy.
Yep. What do you think about the whole JBL Moore Ronaldo thing?
What I really want to say is probably, what I really would want to say about it would actually kind of piss people off.
You never cared about pissing people off.
Yeah, but I don't want to like to fucking, okay, JBL's, he's a known asshole, he's a known being a dickhead, and it's, you know, it sucks that Morrow has bipolar, and this affected him, so, like, maybe if he didn't have bipolar, I would basically say, man, the fuck up, it's not that big a fucking deal, you know what I mean? I mean, because he just drew a couple insults at him, dude. I mean, Jesus Christ, I've had people fuck with me or talk shit to me my whole fucking life. I don't fucking, you know, there's plenty of people, all my jobs that I've had to where I've had shit with people, but I didn't decide, I can't ever go back to work because this dude said a couple mean things to me. You know what I mean? But I'm not bipolar.
You either deal with it one way or you just knock somebody out.
Yeah. But,
if somebody
could pop
their nose, they'll leave you alone.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess it affects him more because of his medical condition. But there's a part of me that, like, it's like I know JBL and them, but they are bullies and shit like that is wrong. But there's a part of me that's like, get the fuck over it. It's nothing that no one in this fucking world doesn't have to deal with. There's always somebody who's an asshole to you somewhere. You know what I mean? So just to me, it's always just something I fucking dealt with, and it's hard to fucking see. It's not like JBL whipped his ass behind the scenes. He just threw a few insults his way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, he's causing like a work environment thing, which is like, you know, you shouldn't be able to do. But at the same time, it's not like he fucking killed the dude's dog or anything, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, all I heard was the whole, and maybe there's more that we don't know, than there was, it was just something on that network show, he kind of poked fun at him for, like, tweeting that he won the Observer Announcer of the Year Award or something like that. And is that it? I mean, that's just, and, you know, maybe if I was JBL, like, if I knew somebody had mental issues like that, I probably wouldn't poke fun of them at all just because of, because that's just the way I am. I wouldn't do that, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, just what has come out doesn't seem that bad to me, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it, I don't know if you're that mentally fragile. I don't. You probably shouldn't have been working there in the first place, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Jay Beagle's in the wrong, but at the same time, it's like it's hard for me to be like, it's not that big of a fucking deal to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I've heard worse shit. Like when you hear stuff about, like, when Bill DeMott was running the school down in Orlando or whatever. You know, I heard, you know, you heard worse shit about him and stuff like that. You know, the way he would treat people, stuff like that.
Well, it's not like JBL took more on the bathroom like he did Terry's kid and fucking trying to rape him with a broomstick. I mean, that's kind of extreme. You know what I mean?
He fucked with, what's his name? What's the guy's name? Palmer Cannon over in Europe or something. Chased him back in the United States. He quit over there on the European tour, and he just went home.
You know, it's funny. It seems like they're at their worst when they're, like, overseas and shit.
Oh, yeah. Like the plane ride from hell.
Yeah.
I remember that. Where JBL knocked out Michael Hayes and Nick Fox cut off Smoke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never been one to, like, if somebody fucks with me, like, words don't hurt me. I don't give a shit. Most of the time you make yourself look like an asshole when you treat people like that. But, I mean, like, if somebody's really pushing me, you know, I'm a small guy. I'm not going to fight anybody. But if somebody tried to fight me, I'd let them know I was there. I might get my ass kicked. But, you know, you might come up with a broken nose or something like that. You know, I'll just grab an object and I just hit you in the face with it. I don't do that fighting shit.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, you know, instead of Morrow being a little bitch, you should have just came and punched him in the face like fucking Joey Styles did.
Yeah, you never heard anything else? Anything Joey Styles, I mean, you know, anything between him and JBL?
So it's like, I mean, I know JBL's in the wrong and all that stuff, but it's like, it's not that big of a fucking deal. You say, there's worse stories out there and shit.
And really, if anybody, you know, should be above all that, you know, I mean, JBL, it's not like he's some, you know, he's like some jock that got wrestling is all he's got. I mean, he's probably one of the most successful guys outside wrestling that you'll find. You know, like financially and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's got plenty of money.
He's probably richer than shit. You know, and I blame Jerry Lawler for having that heart attack. That's what brought JBL back. And JBL, he's probably one of those guys, if you get to know him, you probably like him. But, you know, that's just the way that goes. It's just the whole thing. I mean, wrestling's most, like you hear the story, it's like the most juvenile profession. You know, like backstage and whatever.
Yeah.
Throwing them in. I mean, it's really stupid. Some of the shit you hear. I mean, you know, like telling the Hardy Boys to break off toothpicks and Cyrus's keyholes to his car, just shit like that, or something like that. And I mean, the story came out. He asked John Morrison to steal Justin Roberts' passport, and that's where that whole story came out. And so, I wouldn't want anybody doing that to me, so I wouldn't do that to anyone. I mean, I wouldn't do that to somebody if somebody told me to. I just wouldn't do that kind of shit, you know? Just stupid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be forgotten about within a few weeks. They'll settle, and there'll be agreement where Morrow can't talk about it, so it'll just all disappear.
Which sucks, because I thought he was a good announcer, too, you know?
Yeah.
Probably one of the better ones they had. I mean, it's just... I don't know. Maybe, and there's got to be more to it. Maybe there's some stuff in the back or something happened. I don't know. You know, he's constantly fucking with him or something.
Well, you know, okay, you know, this is one thing that pisses me off is, okay, we spent all this time talking about this. This has been the focal point of so many fucking Observer shows is that it's not the worst story of the fucking weekend, of that weekend, by far. Did you read the Observer, the last Observer?
Yeah.
You see the part about Mr. 450, the dude who was like the cruiserweights, and then he was injured before, and then he kind of like got re-injured in a 205 match, and then trying to get them to pay his medical things, but they're kind of like, fuck you, we know you got hurt before, kind of a thing. Did you read his story that happened over WrestleMania weekend?
I don't guess I did. I guess I don't remember.
Okay. Well, this motherfucker, fucking piece of shit, dude. I don't even know his real name. His name is Mr. 450.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Mexican dude. I don't know if he was in a Cruiserweight Classic or maybe it was an alternate, but he wrestled on 205 Live. It might have been against that Mustafa guy. I don't remember, but yeah, it was. Anyway, he was this guy, Mr. 450. I don't know what his real name is. He's a Mexican dude. Four.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he wrestled at Russell Circus Show, and he was kind of hurt. They had like a short match. He wrestled in Mexico. He was fucking hurt before. Try to play it off like he wasn't hurt. Wrestled for 205 Live, got hurt in the match. And I think his plan was, okay, I'm going to work through this injury. I know I'm going to be on 205 Live. I'll act like I got hurt there. They have to take care of me, pay for everything. I think that's what his plan was.
Yeah.
So that happened, and then, you know, I guess they knew beforehand or whatever. So they weren't like, you know, going to take care of his shit like if he got hurt like in the ring. So, but he's trying to play it off like that, and then he's having bad luck. So then he started, or maybe his friend started, a GoFundMe, right, to raise money to pay for his surgery or his injury. Okay. So, an injury, but a lot of people knew the story. It's like, okay, you bullshitted your way. You tried to trick the WWE into paying your shit when you were hurt before. So, a lot of people knew that story. So, a lot of people kind of like, you know, curious when the GoFundMe came out. And then when the GoFundMe came out, Mia Yim made some comments on her social media about she doesn't understand why wrestlers have to start GoFundMes and stuff, you know, something like that. I don't even know if it was directly a shot at him, because she said stuff about other wrestlers who have GoFundMes that she thinks, you know, she has a real job. She thinks wrestlers should have a real job and pay for their own shit instead of, like, asking.
Yeah, I've never
been
much on the GoFundMe thing.
Yeah. So this dude on his social media fucking starts fucking mocking her and starts saying that, he never really said her name, but basically everyone knew he was talking about her, and he's saying that, oh, this person came out with this big story, and it's all fake, and it's all bullshit, and it's a lie, and it didn't happen, and her ex-boyfriend's my friend, and he wouldn't do that, and just all this shit, which is bullshit, because that fucking shit happened. You know, I know her well enough to know that shit fucking happened. So anyway, that was a few weeks before WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I already don't like the dude because of that. So anyway, come WrestleMania, he's dating some girl. He went to that Whale Mania on Thursday night that Dave was at, that they did the podcast. Yeah, Dave and Bruce Pritchard and all them. He's there, and he's with his girlfriend. Yeah. That was fun. So this dude's there with his girlfriend, and I'm not going to say her name because I only know her first name, but I'm not going to say it. But he's there with this girl who's a wrestler, and she had just had a tryout, like maybe a few weeks before, not that long before. So one of those nights, I'm not exactly sure what night it was, but so she goes to the hotel where they're staying at, and she gets there, and the dude just flips out and, like, tells her to get her shit and get the fuck out. So they start arguing, and then he starts fucking kicking her ass.
I know what the story is now. We'll keep going.
So while he's beating his ass, she's banging on the door to get someone to help, and it's a fucking WWE wrestler who just fucking closes the door and just for the fucking, I don't even know who it was, but whoever it was, fucking bitch, and this dude fucking beat this girl to, like, the elevator, and basically threw her in the elevator, basically. And nothing's really happened because he has witnesses. One of his fucking witnesses is fucking Mia Yim's ex-fucking boyfriend. You know what I mean? So it's like, I guess this whole fucking crew of dudes are just a bunch of fucking women beaters and shit.
Yeah, I heard that Yeah, I had read something of the story with her a while back too. So yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just a fucking. To me, you know, that's a more heinous crime. You beating the shit out of fucking your girlfriend than fucking saying a few mean things to somebody who has a fucking mental breakdown and can't come to work anymore. There's a big fucking difference to me. I think one should have got covered a hell of a lot more than fucking other one and shit. Because this dude, like I say, I mean, he came off as a piece of shit defending his fucking buddy who he knows fucking did that shit for real. And then he's a fucking does the same shit. And his one of his witnesses is a fucking, you know, female abuser. It just fucking pisses me off. And then he's booked next week at the next Russell Circus show, which he was booked before that happened. So I'm not gonna rip Russell Circus for booking him. It's, you know, it happened after. You know, if it was me, I'd fucking cut his ass and wouldn't have him on the show. But I'm not gonna fucking knock him for not. But when his match is on, I'm going outside. I ain't gonna watch that fucking match. Fuck that. Fuck him. Fuck that piece of shit. You know, I hope
Johnny Weaver had to be involved in there somewhere. Was Johnny Weaver involved?
No, Johnny Weaver's dead, but that's basically what he is a fucking Johnny Weaver. So, yeah, so I hope I don't even cross paths with him at the Wrestle Circus. My ass probably fucking say something. You know what I mean?
Is she still in TNA or Impact or whatever?
No, she's done. She was her contract had kind of come up. And they offered her one thing, and she's like, I'm not taking that. You know, if you want me to be exclusive and all this, you need to fucking, you know, make it work for a while. So they didn't agree, and she gave him a couple weeks, I guess, to change her mind and agree, but they didn't. So she's like, fuck them. So she's done with them. And she was like, her and Rosemary were the main ones on the fucking show. They carried it the last few months. As far as the women's side goes and shit. So, yeah, she's done with them.
Maybe we'll be seeing her this summer on the network in the big tournament, maybe?
If the WWE's smart, I hope they fucking get her on there. I mean, it's smart if they get, like, you know, a lot of, you know, exotic-looking people on there. And since she's half Korean, she looks Asian. So, I mean, you could get her to represent Korea, you know what I mean?
And they're all about pushing international people now.
Yeah.
So,
and she is one of the best women wrestlers out there, so I think she'd fit in perfectly, so hopefully they'll put her on there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. She'll be good. Like, the Cruiserweight tournament last year was really good, and you know, I like tournaments like that, you know, take over for several weeks and stuff like that, and people you've never seen before, so.
Well, hopefully it's all, like, international or girls that they got from Shimmer. And they don't put none of their fucking homegrown ones like Aliyah or Liv Morgan and them that suck. You know what I mean? And they actually can have really good matches. So hopefully they'll go with the best ones. Even if they don't sign all of them, hopefully they'll still bring in like someone like Madison Rayne, who's one of the best women wrestlers in the world, but she's not pretty. You know what I mean? Hopefully they'll bring her in just to have some good matches, you know, even though she's not, you know.
No, we don't want her. That means Josh Matthews might come back. Have you watched any of that? I've watched some clips on YouTube of that feud between him and Jeremy Borash. That's so cool. It's just so stupid.
No, I haven't seen none of it. I haven't watched any fucking TNA since Mina's last time she was on there.
No, it's just... I don't know. And then they had this big eight-man with all the big main eventers and some people returning, like Matt Morgan and Magnus and I guess Chris Masters and people like that, and they all the big guys, you know, like Bobby Lashley and Alberto and stuff like that, and so they had the big match, and the loser is off the commentary, and so Josh Matthews' team loses, and he's not off the commentary next week. Okay, I think they're making him like a heel manager, like Lashley or something. And I don't watch the show; I just watch like clips on YouTube. Pass by a clip on YouTube, I'll usually play it and just to see what's going on. And I don't know, he's just stupid. At least when Jerry Lawler and Michael Cole were feuding, it only involved like Jack Swagger and Jim Ross and retired guys like Steve Austin and JBL. It didn't revolve around like all the main eventers and stuff like that. Kind of makes them look like shit, so I didn't want to.
Like I say, I haven't watched TNA, so fuck them.
Plus, Josh Matthews is easy to hate. He's pretty. He's horrible. So anyway, Rosie died this week. Shit died. Superhero in training.
Yeah, that was kind of out of nowhere. I hadn't really heard his name that much.
I was on the High Spots Network and saw that he had a shooting interview on there and watched it. It was pretty good. You know, because knowing who his family is and who he's related to and all that stuff. So, and he had a decent run in WWE. It's a 3-minute warning. And then with the Hurricane as the tag team. And he's pretty decent. You know, just typical Samoan guy. So, I think that's why they it'd be interesting. I don't know. Like, you feel bad booing Roman Reigns like on Monday after his brother died. I don't know. You know?
It's not like most people know that.
Yeah. And still. After Braun Strowman murdered him on Raw a couple of weeks ago. When Braun Strowman murdered him on Raw a couple of weeks ago, when he jumped the stretcher off, it looked good, you know. You couldn't tell it was like any kind of cut or anything to where it was like a mannequin or a dummy or something like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. You remember when Zack Ryder was in Traction, he had the neck brace and his legs were broken, he's in the wheelchair, and Kane sent him off the ramp. The horse came up in the wheelchair. It's still one of the funniest things I've ever seen. He just flew off the fucking ramp. He's dead.
Yeah, but the best part was him flipping the ambulance on the side.
I can't say anything bad about the way they pushed him. If they're going to push a guy, that's the way they should push him the way they've been pushing Braun Strowman. He just, like, whenever he speaks, he's so cringeworthy and awkward. It's just like, I don't know. It's just, like,
well,
almost
it's not
bad.
Like, Under the Giant fucking, it's not like Under the Giant cut fucking 5-star promos.
That's why he had Bobby Heenan.
A giant monster like that shouldn't be making, he shouldn't be articulate. He should be fucking growling.
Well, I'm not saying articulate, but, I mean, you can be a big monster and still cut a good promo. I mean, he just sounds like a dumb clod, you know. Just it's like when they were having something, like he was beating some guy randomly up backstage, and Stephanie walked by and says, "Braun, what are you doing?" I asked him where Roman Reigns was, and he did not answer me fast enough, so I'm beating him up. But, okay, that's horrible.
Yeah, well, also it's not like the monsters of the past have had every single thing written out for them. It's not like he's talking on his own. He is fucking reading the script.
Yeah. And he's not very good. I mean, I don't know. People are looking forward to seeing him.
He can do a fucking kick up. Can you do a kick up?
Yes, I can.
No, you liar.
I've watched wrestling for 30 years. You think I never tried to do that? I'm lay down on the floor and try to do that?
Yeah, I know you can't.
Playing wrestling?
That.
Yes, I can.
No, you're lying. Whatever.
It's not hard. I realize we were in different weight classes, so you might not understand being able to do that. But I can do it.
Yeah, okay.
That was one of the main things wrestling I could do, and I hurt myself. Hey, I took ballet dancing. I'm flexible.
You took fucking ballet dancing?
Yes.
I'm going to have to pick on you.
Ballet class.
Yeah, but still, it's still fucking ballet. That's fucking gay. I'm sure a lot of people get upset for me for saying that, but no, that's gay.
Wow. It's fun. I enjoyed it. I'm in good shape. I'm sorry you just don't appreciate the arts.
Maybe just that.
Well, according to Vince Russo, if you like, certain professional wrestlers, you're already gay. So, there you go.
Of all, the things that ran about now, the one thing that really looked down upon, making fun of gay people and fucking gay, Russo goes on that fucking gay rant, that was fucking hilarious.
I know, put that thing on my Facebook page. I didn't listen to it because I ain't got the stomach to listen to Vince Russo's talk. I just can't do it. I read that, and Cornette had good of response, though. You ought to go on YouTube and look up his response to Vince Russo on his show. He's pretty fucking awesome. They like all these guys. Well, they're not talking about how they look or anything. They're talking about them being good workers and so just saying there must be gay. And then he says, and he complained about Finn Balor's physique. So somebody sent him a picture of Finn Balor with a shirt on, and he had a good physique. He said, "This guy must be gay. Send me a picture of Finn Balor without a shirt on." I'm sure 95% of pictures you're going to find on the internet of Finn Balor is going to be with him without a shirt on. So,
And him and basically every wrestler.
Yeah. people been wrestling without their shirts on in wrestling since the beginning of time, since back to Abraham Lincoln calling.
I mean, have we ever seen Randy Orton not wearing trunks? He doesn't wear pants.
I never got the pants gig, but you got something strange about somebody, some dude named worn pants for a year or something like that. I don't know. I'm not saying they're gay. I'm saying that their attention to detail is amazing. Maybe that's, I don't know what it is. But yeah, I read that rant and I posted it on my Facebook page. It's like, he's trying to get attention. He's trying to make people mad. Nobody was mad about that rant. You know what everybody's saying? It's how pathetic and stupid he was for writing it. Even his little buddy Disco Inferno and Conan, those guys are his friends, and they went off on him on their show about it. I don't know. He's weird. One day he's religious, next day he's back to being anti-Christ or pro wrestling, and then he's one thing, and then he's like on the verge of a mental breakdown or something. He's one. If JBL's gonna take somebody off a mental breakdown, that would be the guy to do it. Not for more than all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like I was listening to Jim Cornette. He filmed the table for three. With Michael Hayes, Cornette, and Eric Bischoff when they were in Orlando for about an hour and a half. It's going to be on the network pretty soon. Where they sit down and eat dinner together and talk.
Yeah.
And Cornette said he and Bischoff went back and forth pretty good with some stuff in the past. And do you remember the little angle they did when it was in the 93 in WCW when the Rock and Roll Express came back, and then there was one show with the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette burst onto the scene but didn't even work there and just came through the crowd and stuff, and because they were mad because they were showing the to promote the Rock and Roll Express, they were showing them beating up the Heavenly Bodies on Smoky Mountain TV every week, so they were kind of pissed, and they went back and forth when Bill Watts was there, and they were cutting promos on each other. And Bischoff didn't like a lot that was said, so he edited shit out of the promo and stuff like that. And so he kind of went back and forth on that, and talking about he's having Ole Anderson's son come to Smoky Mountain. And so he said, "Okay, can you do some promos? And, does anybody want Ole Anderson doing promos on their TV?" So he sure come down to the power plant and do some promos out in the parking lot or something. They went down there, and they said, Bischoff hadn't been to the power plant in 6 months. I bet you anything, the day the Cornette shows up is when today or Bischoff's going to miraculously, show up again. And, 30 minutes later, he showed up. And, he and Ole were having problems. And so they were, he and Ole had gone inside or something. So he went over to Eric is in his Corvette, and he picked up Booger and put it on his Corvette. So, and then it was 2 days later that Eric fired Ole Anderson or something like that. So they went back and forth on that with problems. You know, they had problems with each other and stuff like that. And they said Michael Hayes calmed them down and brought up Vince Russo, and they were like the best of friends then. Because they realized what a horrible blight on the wrestling profession Vince Russo was. So now they were like the best of friends after that. So
when
did you
to come out?
I don't know. Sometime, I guess maybe next few months or something like that. I would be sure the whole thing, because usually the thing just lasts like about 30 minutes or so. But I'd like to see like the whole thing, you know. So we're talking we're going to talk about a couple of movie trailers. So the Thor Ragnarok trailer came out. What do you think of it?
Not what I was expecting at all. At all, because
is that
Roanoke, the meaning of Roanoke is like basically like the end.
Ragnarok? Not Roanoke.
Ragnarok, whatever you tiger said. Anyway, it's supposed to be like the end. Like they're supposed to be taken over or whatever. So I was expecting it to be some big giant battle for Asgard, and that's not what happens at all.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're talking about that, but it was like it was a teaser trailer, you know?
Well, that didn't happen at all. I mean, I'm not saying it didn't look good. I mean, I enjoyed the thing. It's just it wasn't what I was expecting. And the preview honestly made it look more like Guardians of the Galaxy than Thor.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, obviously, you know, like, I got the gist of the story was Hela takes over, like, Asgard or something, and looks like Thor gets, like, banished to a different planet or something, where he has to fight in this arena where he comes across a Hulk or something like that, which then they probably team up together and they go back to Asgard to, you know, like, reclaim the throne or whatever. That's just what I got from probably what it's going to be. And, but, I mean, I thought it was one of the best teaser trailers I've seen in a long time, especially for, like, I'm actually maybe more excited about this Marvel movie than some that I've seen, like, recently. You know, and there is the kind of cross of the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, because I think the Jeff Goldblum character is like the brother of the collector from the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Benicio del Toro character.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that tie-in right there. So, I thought it was cool. I thought I kind of liked how they cut his hair, and then he wore the helmet. I thought that was pretty neat. And then the line when he's a friend from work, I died. That was funny shit.
Yeah, that was funny.
And just the Led Zeppelin music in there, I thought it would look so awesome. And so,
I'm
looking forward to that. Yeah, I mean, I guess I think we got Wonder Woman coming out this summer. I'm looking forward to that. Of course, Justice League's coming out. I'm looking forward to that. And of course, the Star Wars. The Last Jedi trailer, what did you think of that?
I liked it because it didn't give nothing away.
Yeah, I mean,
I hate fucking trailers that give you the fucking main scene in the fucking trailer. It's like, I want to watch the movie, I want to watch the whole movie, I don't want to know what the fuck happens before I even watch the movie.
Yeah, it's like when I watched, what was that movie a couple years ago? Terminator Genesis, did you see that?
I don't know, maybe.
Like the last Terminator movie, and in the trailer it came out that John Connor had been made a Terminator or something. So, well, there's a twist I would have rather seen in the movie than in the fucking trailer. No?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like, okay, we gathered from the last Star Wars movie he was going to be training Rey. I don't think that seemed kind of surprised anybody. That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And you know that Finn was hurt at the end of the last one, so he's like in some sort of a coma or something. But it's taking place, like, I think it's interesting, it's taking place like right after the last one ended, so which you kind of has to, you know. So I like that. And some people complain, though, it looks dark, and you know, of course, it's the second movie in this new trilogy, so it's got to be dark like Empire. And so it's a dark fucking movie, big deal. I mean, I don't care.
Yeah. The last ones that weren't dark were the ones everyone bitched about with Jar Jar Binks. So anyone complaining about Star Wars being dark?
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I like the Revenge of the Sith was good. I thought it was really dark, you know, when he turned. I thought that was a pretty good movie. I liked it, and I mean, it leaves you with a good cliffhanger when he says the Jedi have to end. You know, I mean, you know, what does he mean by that? So, I'm thinking
it
shows a like kind of a scene. I think it shows like Luke and R2, and you see like something on fire. I'm thinking this may be a flashback scene from when Kylo Ren like turned to the dark side or something. Maybe. So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. The thing that sucks is they changed the date of the movie, and we should be getting it next month. Originally, it was going to be out in May 2017 and not December.
Oh.
So, but yeah, I watched
that's
it.
Be good,
I was watching that Star Wars Celebration stuff on. They had it live on YouTube. I watched that. They had, if nobody's seen the tribute that they did, the musical tribute to Carrie Fisher, everybody ought to go check that out because that was, like, really good. And they had an awesome, Mark Hamill did a 40-minute tribute to Carrie Fisher on his own, just telling stories and stuff by himself. Which is pretty good, so people should check that out. It's really good stuff.
Cool. Well, I'm tired and feel like going to bed, so I'm gonna go ahead and end the show already. I'm on my last legs here before I fall asleep. So everyone check out Over the Top Radio at blogtalkradio.com/Couture and other shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can also download the stream or show at angrymarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out angrymarks.com. You can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio, and you can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo.
Yeah, go to youtube.com/Petrero. You got a bunch of wrestling videos and stuff up there. Anybody wants to watch them, so.
And you can tweet Craig at Proper Jam, and that's going to. If he's quit the show or not, because I have no clue. Or not as infirm as Craig's been on. But anyway, so you reach Craig at Proper Jam at Twitter. So anyway, we'll talk to everybody next week.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? Let's go hook him up! Tonight.